And this is just my weird thing, and I know this isn't for everybody. So I know that people will be opposed to what I'm about to say, and that's fine. We can all have different opinions. I respect it, but sometimes I just go in a different direction. And here's what I'm going to tell you is if I'm building a team, and this is just me, I try to get as many good to great players as possible as opposed to bad ones. I know that will be highly controversial. There was somebody on the internet, I believe on Friday, today, we're live, by the way, who was like, did the Bears, I forget. And I'm not throwing this person on the bus. He's like, well, the Bears are going to try to get another wide receiver. Does that mean they have no wide receivers? It's like, no, it's sometimes when I go to Del Taco, I get three tacos. That's it. There's nothing to it. There's no discernible meaning. And you know what? I want to talk about that a little bit more because I know that a lot of you are here just to see my guest. You like me, fine, but you're here to see my guest. So let's get it to it. Sammy. Oh, Sammy's not even there. But anyway, let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
It's Hester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester. Inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's going to be sick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the weekend edition of the Sick Podcast, a special live edition. This is going to be one of my favorite weeks because on Wednesday, if you did not get a chance to see Ticket to the Rank, I implore you to go back and check that out. I had a great conversation with my friend and former colleague at the NFL Network, now with Yahoo Sports, Matt Harmon. Great conversation. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Our draft series with Draft Vogel continues on. Again, check those out. Those are a lot of fun. But right now, as I promised on Wednesday night, we're going to be bringing on one of our favorite people, not only at the NFL Network and NFL Media, but in all of sports and all of the world. It is our friend. Let's welcome her back to the show, Cynthia Freeland. She's joining us here on a Friday morning. How are you? How are you living?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Anytime you see me with this backdrop, it usually means that I'm living well. Things are going great. But
what are we shooting these days, Adam?
What are we shooting these days? You know what? I took third place in net in my men's club over at Borrego Springs. By the way, if anybody's looking to join a men's club, Borrego Springs, we're accepting applications. But in any event, doing pretty well. But I don't know. Can we get to it, Sammy? Can we just play? We know what we're here for. Just can we roll the clip?
Please. The funny part is I agree with absolutely everything you said about Jayden Daniels, except for the fact that I actually think the Bears should take him at number one.
Cynthia, come, what are you doing? I've been spending all offseason trying to mend the fences. This fan base has been fractured with the Justin Fields guys, with the Caleb Williams guys. And just when we're starting to get some perestroika, when we're starting to come together, that'll never happen with Bears Twitter, but still, I thought we were getting places. And then here comes Cynthia. She's like, oh, toss him the grenade. What is happening? What are you doing? Why do you hate me? That's what I felt it was a personal attack on me.
Really, it has a lot to do with Carrot Top, and you know what I'm talking about. No, but look. It's less to me about the consensus is that Caleb Williams is going to be a Bear. We got it. I mean, there aren't even 30 visits going. So all NFL teams get to bring 30 players into their facilities. And some of these teams that are quarterback needy aren't even bothering to bring him in. So let's just talk about like that's going to happen. And now we're talking about the thought exercise of, you know, what could be a different way to approach it. So it was less about for me. Less like saying I don't like Caleb Williams and more saying I really like Jayden Daniels. I think that when I go back and watch the film and I've now had a chance to like painstakingly watch, I'm almost done, right? So I leave the big men for last. So I start with the big men, the offensive linemen, and then I end with the big men too. So you know, now that I've gone through all of it, I think that the one that to me, you know, the fit of everything really does matter. And I actually have for Caleb, I know that, you know, Shane Waldron has a Cliff Kingsbury like background. Like I understand that these right. are types of things where you can create and draw comparisons, but you know, there's something to be said for like, think about it. If you and I went to another network, we would instantly have more chemistry on television than you with some other analytics expert that you didn't even know. So the reality is it's less about, you know, it's a thought exercise and saying, okay, well, what could be another potential outcome since we've already, I mean, we still have 3 weeks to the draft minus one day, 3 weeks to the draft. And we kind of already know. So let's just do some thought exercises to see how the rest of it could shake out in terms of pure talent. I'm just complimenting Jaden Daniels. I'm not taking anything away from Caleb, who will be a Bear and, you know, probably gonna, you know, maybe I'm trying to think where he'd live, but you know, someplace cool.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, unfortunately you sold your place in the city. So that
I know we should have bought it. I should have.
Caleb, we could do that. By the way, speaking of the draft, that Thursday night, we will be in Chicago. Tyler Scott and I will be at Game Room Chicago.
Shut up.
Hosting a draft party. Yeah. So we'll be there for pick number one. And of course, we'll be waiting around for pick number nine. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Is it going to be nine? Because I don't think it's going to be nine.
Well, let's get into that. First of all, I also want to point out what you mentioned a moment ago in case you missed it. Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network yesterday said that Caleb Williams is taking one visit and it's Chicago only. One visit. He's not even going through the theatrics. So love to see that.
Well, it's also for the other teams too, right? Like it's good for, it's actually a very, like if you want another reason to like Caleb, like think about it like this. He's not wasting other people's time. You only get 30 visits. So, you know, it gives an opportunity for some other guys who maybe cuspy players, you know, it's not only for like the best guys. It's also for guys who are third round picks or second round picks potentially right. so that you get to know them.
Yeah, I mean, like, he could have easily, you know, I would have done this, is, I'm getting a free trip home. Not that he needs the money, but, like, oh, like, somebody's like, hey, I got tickets for you to go fly back to Chicago. I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'll go. Even if I had no interest, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that he didn't do that, and I think it also dispels the myth that had been floating around, and this is one of the problems with draft season, is that too many people will say things like, well, Caleb doesn't even want to play. Doesn't even want to play in Chicago. Somebody picks it up and they run with it. And nobody knows where that's sourced. Nobody knows where that's coming from. And, but unfortunately, you know, those are the things. But right now, it feels clear that that Caleb, he's going number one. And I know, and again, everybody calm down. You know, Cynthia was just, I will say, before we go to, I want to talk to you what you think they're going to do at number nine. But Jaden Daniels as a quarterback, the one thing, and I wrote this for my piece that's coming out on NFL.com on Monday, is I
could stay.
Yeah, right.
Gotta add the nerdy stuff in there, you know, wherever
it goes. Of course. It is it's funny because funny enough, it's a couple of weeks. The last time you were on the show, we had talked about drafting Joe Alt because you are a let's stick with Justin Fields and build around him guy. What was it about Jaden Daniels that stood out to you? Because to me, I'm like, well, you already had Justin Fields. Why would you go for smaller Justin Fields if you were going to go with Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels has a couple of things. First, his college film showed more different. I'm not good at English, so I'm not even going to try. More different defenses that he faced. So different right. defensive looks. So in the NFL, first, second down, it's zone like 70% of the time. And then there's a lot of man on third down. Well, in college, it's pretty much all man. So the more zone you have, the more zone experience you have, the quicker your kind of transition to the NFL becomes. And then secondly, I think that when you're looking at like the modern way quarterbacks are asked to play. Now, this is assuming you start day one. This is not assuming you get the luxury of being rolled into a system over time, right? So when you're being asked to start day one, all of these quarterbacks now are throwing on the run. Maybe it's the Patrick Mahomes effect, but like these off platform throws, which just means your feet aren't set when you're throwing the ball. If you don't have and maintain really good velocity when you're on the run, and you weren't, if you're looking at Caleb, he wasn't asked to do that a ton, but right. you see Jaden Daniels was asked to do that more. Like he had good, his pocket had pretty good integrity for a college pocket. So he was good out of the pocket, but he was also good on the run. So he just has more of the pro level experience and resume as opposed to some of these other guys who weren't asked to do it. So it's not to say that they can. It's just to say that we have more evidence that he can.
Cool. Well, I hope Washington enjoys him, or whomever owns up, whoever ends up with him. Good luck to him.
I hope that it's like something really weird. Like, I hope we see some like really weird thing, like, you know, like Sean Payton leveraging the next like 17 years of draft.
You know what? That's exactly what I write in the piece. Not to give too much away, but
No.
I think so, because I was on Total Access 2 weeks, last week, 2 weeks, whenever it was, not this week, but the previous week. And I even said that, like, and Rob and I had a little, you know, it was a fun little back and forth about, like, if you're the Commanders, do you look at your team and you're like, we're a quarterback away from competing? I don't think so. And if some team like the Vikings wants to give you their 2 first-round picks, if Denver wants to give you a draft package that's similar to what the Panthers gave to the Bears last year, I'm like, I don't know how you pass that up, because then your team is solid. And when you draft a rookie quarterback the following year, he's set and ready to go, instead of like, well, hopefully this guy doesn't get killed this season. And like, it's the difference between coming into a team like Justin Fields did and like how Caleb Williams will be doing.
Right. Right. I mean, the other thing that I look at too is, see, Denver could be, it sounds like future picks are like, but I don't, and I say this with, you know, any Broncos fan that happens to be listening, like, all respect, like, that's a tough division. It's not getting easier. And I don't necessarily think, so I think those picks will be valuable is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't think that all of a sudden Denver's going to be picking down first round in the late 20s, yeah. But I think it'll still be about a top 10 pick probably next season. So you are actually getting value. You just have to believe that you have enough like resources this year to get you through so that next year you can pay those off.
No, I'm with you. And I think that the same goes for Washington, New England. Both those franchises would be better off just moving down. And a team that could be possibly moving up, you alluded to this a moment ago, the Bears at number 9. Now, I want to address the thing that I kind of talked about in the cold open, which was fascinating today. And I guess it's JT O'Sullivan who runs this thing. And I don't understand the two options that he gives you. He's like, if the Bears are going to draft a receiver at 9 or a receiver with their second pick, does that mean they have no number one quarter or no number one receivers? Which I don't think, I think that's lunacy. I'm like, you should always try to be acquiring talent. Like, to me, like, would you say, like, let's start off the top. Do the Bears have a number one wide receiver?
Yeah, they do. they might have two, actually. I mean, I'm going to be very honest with you. Like, you also have to remember price. So let's just look at what happened with Stephon Diggs this week. Now, I know this isn't a great example because they converted part of his salary, but that guy's getting paid like $22.5 million in a year. So remember, it's not just like if you go get one of those top tier wide out ones with pick 9 or what, let's just say thereabouts, a top end first round pick, that could just be a signal that in the future, you're trying to ensure that you're not overpaying at any one position, because you can't like look at these positions and say like, okay, like, you know, the top 5 positions, a quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, cornerback, and wide receiver, just other than quarterback, the other ones can be sort of whatever. You can change the configuration. Those are the most expensive positions on the field. So you have to kind of keep a young stable. And it's not to say you get it right necessarily the first time either. You're giving yourself an insurance policy so that you now have in the future the opportunity to have a full spectrum team more often.
Yeah. And so and it makes so much sense. And Matt Harmon and I talked about it on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Is Keenan Allen, as much as we love him, he is 30 plus. He's 33, I believe. 32, 33.
You die when you're 30. We learned this.
Well, it's not necessarily that, but it's like he's an older player. You don't know
how much. You and I. Yeah. We died when we were 30. Like, you know.
I was done. My golf game's getting better as I get older, but that's a different story. I will say, though, you don't know how long Keenan's going to be in Chicago. I hope that they extend him and they can find an agreeable price and it goes on. But at the same point, you put a wide receiver on that rookie contract that, you know, if you eventually have to give more money to DJ Moore, which could be very, very possible, regardless of what happens with Keenan Allen, you've got a number one wide receiver. And I still believe in Tyler Scott and still believe that Tyler Scott's going to be a factor on this team for years to come. So
obviously he's going to be at the game room with you on Thursday night of the draft.
Yeah, you know what? And it's like, I think he's in a really good position too. I mean, even if you're the fourth receiver on a team that has Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen's going to play a lot in the slot, Tyler plays in the slot, like, learn from that guy, you know? Like, that's a great opportunity. And you know what? He's missed some games during his career. Like, yeah, you go out there and you'll get your opportunity. And I think it's a better way to come about things. Like, it's sort of like when you have a quarterback on the bench who's able to sit for a couple of years, then hits the ground running, you know, Tyler's going to get an opportunity to get acclimated. So even that, I don't think it's a shot at Tyler if they would take another wide receiver. I just think it's important. Seattle did it last year with Jackson Smith and Jigba. So it just makes sense that the Bears would do the same thing here, right?
I mean, I think that there, I will say, like, it's very smart to look at scarcity. And if you believe that you're not going to be able to get someone in that next spot, whatever that, you know, wherever you believe that is, that's going to fulfill your objectives as your team, then you should absolutely take them. You can't load up too much on any of those prize positions. You can't, like, I mean, okay, you can quarterback, we get it, but like, you can't have, if you pick one more wide receiver in this case right now, you're actually pretty smart if you think about it, because then you are changing the math for everyone else that comes. Like, wide receiver and where they go in this draft is going to be the quarterback wide receiver stuff is going to dictate, because there's some good corners. Like, for example, a really good corner could fall to the Bears in the second round because of what's going on here with the first round. And like, the Bills obviously kind of smoke signaling they need a wide receiver. Like, there just seems like needs are falling. So you're it's about availability, opportunity costs, and scarcity. So you have to think about what are your next few picks going to look like as well.
What do you think they do at number 9? You mentioned this a moment ago. If they stay at 9, were you thinking they move up or do you think they move back?
I think it depends on how it all shakes out. Like, we, you know, we in the media were talking about, there are just a bunch of quarterback needy teams. It's true. Like, you think that the Raiders are happy with, like, are they really going to go with Gardner Minshew? Like, I like Gardner Minshew, but like, is that their starter? I don't know. But
AOC wasn't terrible last year, so I could see that they want to just roll with those two guys. I think they're another team in one of those positions of like, don't mortgage your future to try to move up for one of these players. I think one of the quarterbacks could end up falling to them.
I feel like, but even 9 is such a great spot, because right at 10, so if you go like Google that Jimmy Johnson trade chart, like, between the difference between pick 1 and 2 is huge. Between they start to compress, and by the time you get to 10, the difference between a few is achievable for a team like the Raiders. So if the quarterback doesn't shake out this way, that could be a really nice way for the Bears to pick up a couple of, you know, just a little bit, because then they could jump ahead of the Broncos, because the Broncos probably need a quarterback. So I guess it depends on how it shakes out, but I think the flexibility at 9 to go down or even up for a discount, meaning like a team just needy to trade out and perhaps they don't necessarily follow that. Jimmy, people always say like no one follows that. That is not true. If you go back and track all of the trades that happen, it's pretty precise. Sometimes it can be like the point number can be off by a little bit, but then they're like, here's $200K in cash from someone's contract. And you're like, okay, well, you know, like we'll do that. It's, you know, it's that it nets out. Right.
It's wild. And that thing was created in the 90s and it's still prevalent in the NFL. And that was started before free agency and everything. You know, remember back in the day, you know, there was free agency started, I believe, in 94, like with Ken Norton jumped to the 49ers and all that. Deion went to the 49ers and all that stuff. And it's still prevalent today. I was ratioed. Because I put out a tweet about the Texans where it wasn't properly worded and I'm verified. I could have thought, well, actually what it was is like, I tweeted it out and then I went out and started gardening. And then people were picking up, like even Nick Wright was making fun of me, which is like, when Nick Wright starts making fun of you, like I've really hit a level of this, like notice, I like Nick Wright, but like Nick Wright is that kid. Like Nick Wright strikes me as the guy in your class who doesn't know what he's talking about, but thinks that if he talks slow enough, he sounds intelligent. Like I had a friend named Spiegel who, when I was in school, he would always give these speeches and like, he's so full of it, but he's always like, you know, but I'm talking slow. So now it really appears that he's almost the Chilbra guy. Some people would think, like trying, like, you know, I'm just making it seem like something. Samuel L. Jackson talked about this when he was acting, is like always try to be doing like a math problem, like always look like you're being concerned. But in any event, that's at the time. The point I was trying to make is that there are going to be teams that now understand that, like, this is the time to strike, which is what I meant. Obviously, building around a rookie quarterback is not new in the NFL, but what Houston did was, like, we're going all in. We're not just sort of like, oh, rookie contract. No, they've made a lot of great strides, trading back in the draft for getting Will Anderson, what they did this year. And, like, the Bears are in another similar spot, which was what I was kind of trying to allude to. If I could have, you know, well, I've got this platform.
I got it.
Could the Bears, let's say, and I don't think this is going to happen, but four quarterbacks go. The Chargers are sitting there at number five. Hey, the Chargers need a lot of help too. Like, going from 5 to 9 is not as severe a drop. Could they possibly move up to take the wide receiver that they really like?
Absolutely. I mean, nine's a great, like I said, great striking distance if you have number one and you get to select your quarterback, right? Like, that's where the leverage comes in, because if you didn't have number one as your quarterback selection, then, you know, yeah, nine could be dicey because it's a lot to get up to like 3 or 4. But yeah, the Chargers, I think, are probably the most well positioned to trade down. Now, I will say, if Sean Payton wants to get a quarterback, I think you'll have to look at the Cardinals to trade with, because I don't think the Chargers are going to be like, hey, sure, we'll give you your quarterback of the future. Hmm. Yeah. But that could be interesting. But the Bears could absolutely do that. And in reality, if we go 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterback, I don't know if the Chargers, I think they'd probably, based on, they come from the Ravens now, you know, their new GM is a Raven. Those guys are all about value. They know they need a lot of things. I think they'd be well incentivized to move down, even though they need a wide receiver. But I think they'd probably think, well, we can get a wide receiver at 9. And then also, you know, whatever third round pick we get, that would give us some sort of linebacker. I'm making this up, or, yeah, you know, running back that we could want, Blake Corum, because, you know, Michigan. But ultimately, that's the kind of thing where I absolutely think that would be on the table.
And at the same time, you know, the Bears could also find themselves in a spot where all three of the big wide receivers go off the board. We mentioned the Chargers. I mean, realistically, New England could end up drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., which would really just set the world ablaze and really set us down a road to ruin of, like, because then Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze is probably going 5 or in that vicinity. The Giants, the Titans are very dicey in my piece. Because it comes with a bear slant, so I'm doing whatever I can. My thing is never a predictions piece. It's always a consultant piece. Like, I'm like GMAT. You know what I'm saying? That's a personal one for you and me. Like, I'm GMAT, where I'm like a consultant, where I'm just telling them what to do.
Red should thank you.
Yeah. I'm just smiling. I'm just
the color smiling. Orange should thank you.
The color orange should thank you. But in any event, so I'm telling the Giants, like, you know what? You have too many needs. Draft a, it's great. Sometimes the jokes are just for us, people. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
I haven't worked with you in a while. So
if you only knew,
it hits me extra.
If you only knew what was going on sometimes.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, the notes that we get. Love what you're doing. Hey, say hello to the family. No, sorry, G-Man.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I don't know how many people film their birth. Like, somebody will send you a text. Like, I have friends that send, like, they don't even send a text that says happy birthday. They just send HB. Like, hey, HB. And I'm like, well, F you. Like, at least spell out the words.
You know, I get confused when people say that. I'm like, you're in Hermosa Beach?
Like, yeah, or Huntington, in my
respect. This is great news. Come over.
Yeah. Like, where are you going? He's like, want to go down to Rip? Whatever. I will heal actually. But in any event, so I'm like a consultant for these teams. Like, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
I keep telling the Giants and the Titans, like, you guys need help on the offensive line. Like, you can go get Ladd McConkey at the end of the draft, in the second round.
Hey, I like Ladd McConkey.
You know what's funny? I actually have him going in the first round. You can always tell. I always get this too, because like I always have so many receivers in my mock draft with a twist. They're like, because you're a fantasy guy. I'm like, duh. Yeah. It's always offensive linemen. It's always offensive linemen and receivers. And they're like, hey, this like edge rusher is really good. You don't have him on the list. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, who cares?
Like Jared Verse, who cares? Miles Turner, whatever.
No, it's the UCLA guy. And I think because
say his name, Latai.
Yeah. And because of his medicals, I'm like, dude, nobody.
I was about to say he's a super nice kid, but I'm not sure he's completely healthy.
I don't like, and that's the one thing too. Like when people are doing mock drafts, like, well, he could go to the Bears. I'm like, the Bears cannot use, first of all, you can't use number 9 on him, and you don't trade down for him either, because that is a huge risk. And it's one of the reasons why he's not going to be a first round pick, is because these teams are like, no, this is way too valuable to go with a guy who retired from football a couple of years ago. God bless him. I hope he has a long NFL career, but you just can't take that kind of risk. And so for the Bears, like, if the receivers are gone. So what I was trying to allude to is like the Giants. I mean, realistically, the Giants could draft one of those receivers. The Titans could draft one of those receivers. I would even say, as weird as it would be, even the Falcons. I'm not going to rule out like the same reasoning that you would give for the Bears. You could give for the Falcons. Like, let's go all in. Like, we're not going to get to the quarterback anyways. So let's just not even try. Let's go for another receiver. So the Bears at 9, do you think that they would go with one of the edge rushers like Jared Verse, or even if Dallas Turner is there? Or would you try to trade down and target somebody like Brian Thomas Jr., who I really love? And at some point, I'm like, I wouldn't even like, if he's good enough and you think he's good enough, I don't mind taking him at 9.
I mind taking him at 9. Okay. I think he's really good. I think that this Bears staff, both like the way the coach and GM have kind of come together to create a strategy that we saw play out during free agency and we'll see continue to play out during the entire draft process and the rest of free agency, because I guess we never end free agency, but like, yeah. But I feel like there's like a number of teams in that like 20 to 25 range. That's where I think Brian Thomas Jr. should go. And you could get a ton of return on investment there.
Yeah.
I also think there's some teams who need like corner. There's only really what I've kind of come up with. There aren't a ton of top end corners in this.
No, Arnold from Alabama.
Terrion Arnold. Yep.
The guy from Toledo.
Yeah. That's my favorite one.
And yeah, you know what? I got that too. I think Arnold's better. And
I think he's better too. Like I just was, I say favorite from,
I get you. He,
and then Cooper DeGene. But DeGene had some medical as well.
Could you imagine if the Eagles got Saquon Barkley and DeGene? Like, what a slap in the face to the Giants. You have to think about that one. Who had the last white cornerback? You would now erase Jason Sehorn off the record books. So that would be a double whammy.
What would Michael Irvin do? I mean, we talk about Sehorn at least 7 times a season. You know who had the last white safety that I know of at least?
Wait.
Come on. He's from Michigan. Played at a very good engineering school.
Oh, wait, no. Eric Weddle.
Oh, fair. Okay. But Stuart Schweigert.
Oh, yes. There we go. But he's from
Saginaw.
There it is. Or all right.
Sag Nasty, if you will. You think you have a Penn State mug?
I know. Like, I don't, this is such a nice mug. And I like M-Rob so much that I don't throw it away.
It's just so random.
I try to cover it as much as possible and make people think that it's a Bears mug. So I'm usually trying to like.
I outed you. Sorry.
Somebody noticed it. Penn State. I'm like, I know. I'm throwing it away. Fine.
I'm just surprised.
It was a good gift. It's
you
nice.
Love M-Rob.
I had
a Northwestern one.
Two of my dear friends.
If you're going to have a cat, you need to have a Northwestern one. At least a wild cat.
A wild cat. There you go.
Yeah.
But what about, so at 9, moving down, so looking at more defensive stuff, like, do you even think, like, I know they've been too quiet defensively, and I feel like Matt Eberflus has kind of a he's got kind of a, you know, he's, his influence is still going to be there, and he's going to want somebody out. Like, right. Like, he's got to be pushing like, hey, the big three receivers are gone. We got to go Dallas Turner. Do you see that being a realistic possibility as well?
Sure. But I also think he's probably, like, knowing Flus, I feel like he probably has four or five guys that he really wants for that second pick. But, you know, in the same way, like the Lions did last year, maybe I didn't love it because I don't do like linebackers and running backs in the first round, but
right.
I digress. But, you know, they have their guys, and I'm sure that they also have a pretty good feel for where those guys will probably trade. So, I mean, what I'm looking at it, it's like, I'm sure of course he wants Miles Turner. Yeah, who wouldn't, right? Like, but I think he probably doesn't hate Jared Verse, and he probably is like, okay, one of these corners could be pretty nasty too. Like, you know.
But we have Jalen Johnson. We got, we also have Spider-Man. I think corner is where we're really set.
I would say though, like receiver, I don't know if you're ever going to have enough on your team, especially with how often people are passing in this league, maybe not in the NFC North in general, but like, you know, in overall, I do think, remember, that is one of those top five positions where if you trade down enough, like if a top end corner were somehow to make it to 25, like that's a good return on investment. So I'm not suggesting they need it, but I'm saying, you know, best player available. Once you get to a certain spot, you're getting a guy who, because of the way the draft played out, accidentally got pushed down as opposed to, I don't know. So that's kind of what I'm, you know, if you want to make a big leap down and get like a second round pick in addition to that.
Yeah, I could see it more for safety, even though they got Kevin Byard, who I think was a great pickup.
Love Kevin Byard.
You still got Kyler Gordon. Tyreek Stevenson had a great rookie season.
Kyler Gordon is Gordy's favorite player.
Yeah. Kyler Gordon, Spider-Man, of course. I don't know why.
He was a husky, like my dog.
Of course.
Kyler, it sounds like his dad's name, Kyle. Gordon. So, it all works out.
It all works out. That is, yeah. So I thought, well, it's funny because I thought about that too when you're trading down. And linebacker seems pretty set. I guess like three technique. You know, we're going to go with the rookies from last year, which is fine. I'm just preparing myself because as much fun as it is, it almost feels like Ryan has let us have our fun getting Keenan Allen. I think Gerald Everett was a great pickup too.
100%.
I'm like, we got Gerald Everett. And I know because people roasted me because I was talking about all the additions to the Bears this year. Like, oh, you put Gerald Everett like he was. I'm like, Gerald Everett's a pretty good player. And you'll be playing with Cole Kmet.
And don't sleep on those interior O-linemen too. They might not go in the first round, but there's some really good interior O-linemen that could make a really nice addition to the team. The guy from Duke, Graham Barton. Like, there's
Graham
a
Barton.
Few, and I usually like people from Duke, you know, just because
I'm not a Duke guy,
Just kidding, but yes.
I would never have a Duke mug here, and then there's Jackson Powers Johnson. That if you JPJ. Fell down, JPJ, that if you traded down, if you did do this, because I actually had him going to the Steelers, which I think is a good move. That would be like such a Steelers pick. And the Steelers starting quarterback, when he was in Chicago last year, or the last number of years, is like I think one of the biggest detriments to Justin Fields. One thing that we could never get right for him was the center position. And they tried. We brought in players, we tried Cody Whitehair, we did some other things, and it just never worked out. And I feel like had the center position been solved immediately, that would have helped out Justin Fields quite a bit in his development. And
how many games do you think it will take do you think it will be week one that we see Fields out there? Or do you think it's like week 4 or 5, whenever the bye is? Like, what do you think? Like, give me your.
I think I'm one of the few people in the world who still likes Russell Wilson, who still feels he can play, but I don't think that this is a good situation for him in that the second he makes a bad play, the fans are going to turn, like, they're going to want Justin Fields out there because Justin Fields is so likable. I personally like Russell Wilson. All of my interactions with him have been very pleasant. He said, I understand the knock that he gets, but it's like, I would even say, I remember when I met him, like this is during Russell's heyday. And like we'd see him around or whatever. And it was a Super Bowl week and whatever. And I worked with him a couple of times. And then I saw him again on Friday. And people got to understand, like, these players see everybody a lot. Like, sometimes players will be like, you could hang out with them for a week and then see them a few days later. And they will look at you like they've never seen you before in your mm-hmm. life. Probably more so for me than you. But like, they're like, and you are. And you're like, dude, I went to your mom's house. Like, but not quite to that extreme. Yeah, like Russell Wilson, like as a big time player, was like, oh, hey, good to see you again. He didn't know my name, but he knew that he had seen me before and acknowledged, like, I have seen you before as a human being on this earth. Good to see you again. That's all it takes sometimes to just be like, oh, okay, that's nice. Like he's mindful.
I like Russell Wilson too. He's been nothing but kind to me as well. I think since his hand injury, things
have changed. Oh, yeah.
It's not, I'm not talking anything about, like, I like him. I wish him well. Like, I don't really care. The only person whose personal life I care about is David Njoku, but now you guys are cool. So whatever, but ultimately I don't care about that. I'm just talking about who wins. And I just think Justin Fields, it's not personal to.
No, not personal. Yeah. I just feel like I was happy for him. And when he got hit and when he got to Pittsburgh, I'm like, this is a really good spot for him. Like, okay, this is for like, sure. it's a very similar formula to what they did in Seattle. They're going to run the football. They're going to play great defense. Great opportunity for him to go out there. He doesn't need to be the savior of the franchise. And they're like, well, I got Justin Fields. Like, yeah, he's screwed. You know,
right. I don't think Russell, you know, knowing what I know about him, like, of course he wants to, when he's coming there, like he got treated very poorly in Denver. So he wants them to say he's a starter. And by the way, he went there first. So whatever. So, you know, who cares what we always hear coaches tell little, you know, stories until it comes time to play a game. So this is, I don't know. Like, I just don't read anything into that other than the best one will start. And so that means it's probably gonna be Justin Fields.
No. And so that'll happen. So, and if Pittsburgh doesn't get him, I wouldn't be upset if the Bears trade down and get him. If that's who they end up with. But what if there's something about this, and I keep attributing this to Brian Perez, who said this, but it makes a lot of sense. And I've been picking up and using it. It's like, you know, I don't anticipate the Bears drafting in the top 10 for the next decade. You almost have to take advantage of it. Whether I don't care who it is, like, you got to kind of stay with that pick. Let me ask you this, though. We talked about, as we were talking of Gerald Everett, would Brock Bowers be a possibility? Like, would that be like, if the Bears are sitting there at 9, the top 3 receivers are off the board, you're not really in love with one of the interior offensive linemen, you don't want a corner, you're like, let's just go for Brock Bowers. Could that be a possibility?
Sure, it could be. The tight end position right now is the most, in terms of like what people are paying for top end tight ends, like they're not, it's undervalued compared to production. So if you look at these pass catching tight ends, including Travis Kelce, their salaries are sort of blended in a way where a top end tight end isn't worth the same as a top end wide receiver. So I would say they're more likely, if the wide receiver they like is there, to nab that position, just because, not to say anything, like Brock Bowers looks to be a great talent. But I also think that, you know, that it feels like they're smart about their cap situation and what's going on. So it just seems unlikely. I mean, of course they could surprise us. I was very surprised by Dalton Kincaid last year, but now I have his trading card. I have like a one of one of those like really special ones. I'm like, hey, this thing just went up in value.
Yeah. I don't think the Bills are in as bad a shape as people are making it out to be. And we could save that for a Bills podcast. I do want to ask the folks in the back here. Do we have any like civil questions that we can do? How much time do you
have? I love Chicago fans. Like, you know, I think it's fun to like care. God forbid people like their team, you know, and want their team to do well.
So here's from Chris. Daniels plus MHJ or neighbors is worse than Caleb and Adunze. Fun thought experiment. I will tell you that I've put myself into this mindset of Caleb and Odunze that I've almost just considered them Bears. So it would be very difficult for me. But yeah, what about that? Is that the fun thought? Like, what is better, Daniels and Marvin Harrison Jr. or Caleb and Adunze? Where it's like NBA Jam back in the day.
It's like NBA Jam. So I mean, it seems similar. It's a great thought experiment. Totally agree. I feel like, especially rookie year, that Caleb and Odunze would be a little bit better. Why? Because if you look at Odunze's contested catches, which every rookie quarterback is going to need a minute to adjust to the league. So I feel like the fact that, like, I mean, look at him near the perimeter and then look at him when he has absolutely no space to work with, which you can assume you're welcome to the NFL moment for any receiver, is going to consist of a lot of contested catches. So to me, that kind of tips it, because I think, you know, the way that they want to run the offense, Caleb is going to be perfect for. But I also, like, if I were saying on any team, like, I just drop them onto a neutral team, I don't know, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s ability to run routes and also, you know, contested catches and create separation, all that stuff. Like, that guy is like a full-grown adult. Like, he's full-on, like, that's a fully formed cold-weather player. So
yeah,
I just feel like that one, maybe, not to say Washington isn't cold, but I don't know, like, Big Ten football and it's like weird. This feels a little bit more, I don't know.
Big Ten football, like Washington.
Flop on a neutral team, I might go with the first option.
Yeah, I got you. But Washington, that's Big Ten football now. So there it is. Ha! Oh, that'll never get used. I'll never get used to that.
I appreciate like the like capitalism effect of all this, but I think we gotta like settle down with NIL, and we gotta get out of the bubble that we're in with like conference realignment and, you know, and like the bubble will burst. Like, this is not the first realignment. We'll have to redo the.
Yeah,
because think about it. Like, you still want to have like tennis, right? Like, you're really going to fly tennis from, you know, USC to Rutgers?
Can't wait. That
was awesome.
Way to go. Way to think that through. Yeah, they just need to have a football only conference and then everybody else can go back. Cause like,
exactly.
Cal State Fullerton, you know, their water polo conference is like USC, Irvine, like all these things. And at some point they'll figure that out as we continue to figure out what we're doing with the NFL draft. How about another question? Cynthia. Ooh, Bruja7. This is one of our favorite guys.
Love it.
I'm assuming guys. Sorry. I don't mean to put that on. And by the way, the number 7, for people who ask, that is George Halas's number. That number is retired with the Bears because of George Halas, if I'm remembering that correctly. Cynthia, do you see the Bears, or do you see Chicago winning 10 games with a rookie quarterback this season? Yes. What do you think? 10 wins?
Well, I guess it depends a little bit on two things. Number one, does Minnesota get a different quarterback? Are we asking Sam Darnold? Because to me, that would switch things very dramatically.
Yeah, they'd be worse without Sam Darnold, is what you're saying.
I think Sam Darnold is actually a good pick. I think a lot of life comes down to confidence. So if they have, because here's the thing, Sam, and then who's the backup?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Life's a lot about feeling stacked. So I got to see who their like opponents are. Like if the Bears get to play the NFC South, the answer is yes. If it's like AFC West as some of their like unique opponents, then maybe no. But I love the fourth place schedule. I think 10 is very achievable. I don't know about 13, but I know 10 is.
Which I'm giving us 13 because that's what I do.
I know. I was like, you're at least 13. That's what I was guessing.
You know what? I resent. Who's
the schedule against?
Hold on.
Yeah, let me know because it does matter. Bonus.
It does matter. We just the only thing that we know is that they're opening with the Packers. Just because that's what they're going to do. Because I don't know
if Packers got worse.
I don't know if it's that one guy, Mike, who still does it, who makes it. He always makes it seem like, oh, it's so tough to put this schedule. No, it's not. Everybody has their own stadium now. Like, yeah, with the Ravens share a park. I don't care if the Ravens, like, remember when the Ravens got jobbed out of the home opener because the Orioles were having a game? Like, who gives a shit?
Excuse my language. Orioles are bad.
Like, who cares? Like, Uber did the game then. I don't care. The Ravens should have hosted that game. Okay, here's the Bears' home schedule. Lions win. Vikings win. Rams, we'll see. Seahawks win. Jags win. Titans win. Panthers win. Patriots win. And you got the Packers. Well, But the away schedule, it's got the Lions, Packers, Vikings, Cardinals. That's a winnable game.
So it's the West, NFC West.
NFC West, yeah. So it's the NFC West. 49ers obviously are very good. The Texans are a lot better. Colts, Eberflus revenge
AFC
game.
AFC South.
And the Commanders. Oh, that's a 10 win. I could easily talk myself into 13 here. I don't want to give it away.
It does depend a little bit on the order. Like, you know, if you catch some of these teams early, like you could catch, like if Texans were week two, it could be, you know, there will be a sophomore adjustment period for CJ Stroud, and you never know. So there's definitely some winnable games there.
No, so, yeah.
10's hard. 10's, it's, you know, I think it's very likely.
7 last year with 3 games that they blew in the fourth quarter where they had a 90% chance of winning. Now, a lot of those you could almost, I mean, like the Denver game for sure. And I love Justin, but like that fumble was his fault. Like that, I know the guy didn't get blocked, but that was a play. It was Getsy's scheme running a play that they had scored a touchdown on that Denver adjusted to, and Getsy didn't make the adjustment. And Justin Fields gets blown up, but Justin still has to hold on to the ball. If he just takes a sack there, the Bears win that game. That's 8 wins. So those other, the Cleveland game should have been a win. And now we'll find out because we kind of tied.
We're going to talk about a Lions game that maybe.
The Lions game. Yeah. I remember watching that game and they were showing the Lions crowd like super morose, four minutes to go plus change. And the Lions crowd is super morose. And I'm like, why are they so morose? Like, it is like, I don't feel great about this yet. And then Justin has the huge run. They settle for the field goal, a lot of things. So I truly believe that those 3 losses, the Browns one in there as well, it's like they kind of pin that on Getsy and Justin Fields. Like, both those guys sort of like, hey, Matt Eberflus is kind of like, it's those guys. Okay, fine. You know what? You're going to get another opportunity. If they start blowing those games this season, then the head coach, maybe the head coach. And I love the glow up, and I'm a huge fan, and love the heel Eberflus looks amazing. You start blowing those games again, and now it starts to come under like, hey, maybe this is a coaching thing, the head coach. So I look at a 7-win team from last year. Could have, would have, should have. Had an realistic opportunity to sweep the Lions. Had a realistic opportunity to beat the Browns, another playoff team. And they just didn't look good against the Packers, which, you know, that's got to switch at some point. Again, going back.
I don't think the Packers got better. They made some weird choices. So
I'm
not suggesting Jordan Love is not good. I don't get like the Josh Jacobs for Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones had 5 100-yard games to end the season.
That, to me, this team that is so – the Packers are so steeped in tradition. Like, dang, look at our Lambeau Field, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, fine. You get rid of everybody. Like, Bakhtiari, like, you can't throw him a bone? Nope. Rodgers, nope. Davante Adams, out. The Aaron Jones –
I think we can all agree as non-Packers fans that – Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams not being there.
Oh, I'm happy with it. Like, it's not a big deal to me. But the Aaron Jones thing struck me particularly odd because more so than anybody else, nobody kind of enveloped the Packers persona like Aaron Jones. Like, to me, it was like James Jones. James Jones, dear friend of mine, such a P word. I hated him so much. Like, there was nobody I legit did not. And it was, I remember him coming on our show when he was still with the Packers. And I'm like, he was so nice. He's such a nice person. You're like, I don't like that I like him, but I'm like, but I told him like after we did the interview, I'm like, I don't like you. He's like, oh, it's cool. Like, it's no big deal. I expect that you're a Bears fan. And it was fine. And of course we worked together. I got to get him on the show, but, Aaron Jones has that ability too. It's like, oh my, like this guy just all, like it's always Aaron Jones, even more so than Aaron Rodgers sometimes. You're just like, of course it's Aaron Jones. And it's the stupid shovel pass touchdown. And I'm like, I can't get, and the Packers got rid of that. I think this starts to bite them in the keister a little bit. I think that they got away with it last year. They kind of, and again, if the Bears wouldn't have blown those three games at the end of the year or during the course of the season, they would have had 10 wins. They could have lost in week 18 to the Packers. They would have rested all their starters, and then they would have been like, hey, we're going to the playoffs. You're not, you know, and it would have been, you know, glorious. But the Packers, I felt, got a little bit exposed in the playoffs. I mean, you beat Dallas, like, okay, good. Like, you beat Madden on rookie level against the computer. Like, congratulations. When you went up against the real team, you folded. I don't think the Packers are that good. This is how you can win everybody back, Cynthia. Tell us how bad the Packers are.
Yeah, I think they made a lot of confusing decisions. And while I like the safety they got from the Giants, I think they completely over, like, that guy's getting paid the same. Xavier McKinney is getting paid the same amount of money that, like, freaking Minkah Fitzpatrick is getting paid. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, I believe, is a 3-time All-Pro and, like, 4-time Pro Bowl. Like, not that Pro Bowlers are the Pro Bowl is the best way, but all pros a pretty good proxy for how good someone is. Like, you're paying him that kind of money? Boy, like, it's just a lot of money at the safety position when you have a lot to fill. And David Bakhtiari not being there, I mean, that O-line was really good. Turns out you need a good O-line. So I'm confused to see. And look, like, they got the Jordan Love thing to work last year, but I don't know if I think that's, like, I'm not ready to crown him yet as
the. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Three games.
He's not like, you know, remember when they had, like, Matt Flynn and Flynn crushed the Lions.
That's the Lions.
It's not that, but it's not, I don't know. He could be average.
Yeah, he probably is. And so they also, this is another thing too. They got rid of Simone Biles, which I think was terrible. And
in an Olympic year, why would you do that?
In an Olympic year. And she could not wait to smack the city of Green Bay. Like, oh my, I love her so much. Because then I was already a huge fan. I always hated that. I always hated seeing her in Packers stuff. I'm like, really? Simone Biles? I knew she didn't like it, and she didn't. Because she's like, oh, I love the city of Chicago. You're like, yes, way to go. And then that could have been fine. She's taking the high road. She's just being polite to her new host city. But then she doubled down, and she goes, and now I don't have to, I can take a direct flight to go see my husband play football. Bam! Take that, Green Bay! That is going to be the thing that turns the tide more than anything, is that you.
It's an Olympic year.
You besmirched, Simone Biles in an Olympic year by getting rid of her husband, letting her go to the rival Bears.
By the way, I really like that, like, all of the NFC North picks up the, like, what is going on? Like, I love Petty. Oh, I love Petty so much. You know it. So, you know.
Oh, and that was, yeah, I hated Aaron Jones going to the Vikings. Because when that happened.
But it was funny.
It's hilarious. But it's like, because I knew this wasn't going to last for long. I'm like, so glad that Aaron Jones is not in Green Bay. And then every response was like, he's going to Minnesota. I'm like, I know, but, like, just please let me think that he's possibly
have my moment.
Maybe go to Miami or something like that. I don't know. Hey, when's your next production meeting? I don't want to keep you too long.
I got about a half an hour.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep you for a half an hour. Do we have another question or two? Yeah. Is everybody having fun? I hope everybody's enjoying this. We don't usually do this live. And so this has been a lot of fun. Clayton wants to know, hypothetical question. You can see the future. Alt Adunze Turner become first ballot Hall of Fame. Easy. Oh, I love this question.
Easy.
What do you do?
I take Alt.
If you know the future and you know that these three guys are Hall of Fame guys, why would you take the offensive lineman? Some people would say, listen, they've got Braxton Jones. Darnell Wright was the first round pick last year. Why would you pick Joe Alt if you knew that he was going to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, a couple of things. Next year, you're not going to pick in the top 10. And this is the O-line class. This right here, this is the O-line class. Joe Alt is, like, going to play at 22 years old, which means you probably have more than 10 years of having this franchise left tackle, very, very marquee position in a situation where you could bring him in at the same time as your quarterback. All signs point to yes. I understand that. I love Odunze, of course, you know, But I love the edge rusher too. You know, an Alabama edge rusher, you can almost never go wrong with those either. However, the upcoming draft classes are a little bit more chock full of those other two positions, whereas you're not going to get this type of position at this type of value. You're just not going to be picked that high. And also that caliber of left tackle isn't available next season.
Yeah. And then I guess you just figure out what to do with Braxton Jones at that point. If you knew, again, if you knew he was going
to
be.
I'm not being mean to Braxton Jones. Yeah. I'm just going, why would I not take.
Well, like, if you're guaranteed him as a Hall of Famer under that.
You're guaranteed. And you get, and he's a baby. He was born in 2002. Like, that's crazy. God.
That's disgusting because it reminds me how long it's been since the Angels have won the World Series. So I'm just saying,
but like you're telling me, yes, the answer is yes. And it's not, maybe it's not sexy, but it's the one that's going to protect my quarterback the most. So I'm going with that one.
Yeah. It's interesting of, in terms of roster building, like what is the most, so to you, the most important position out of left tackle, defensive edge rusher and receiver, always take the tackle.
No, not always. I'm just taking a look into the future and I'm looking at the development of, see, edge rushers, they kind of like, they're good right off the bat, right? Like they don't need as much development. So you don't need to have the elite, like you can find a good one, a very, very good one, and maybe get them in 20 at that range, right? But like, it's very, very hard in the future years. Like O-line in college is not great, like overall, like usually in every draft class there's like two. This year we might see eight go in the first round and they all tackles only. Like usually there's like two that are worth it, and sometimes like a guard will sneak up in there, right? But I don't know, it's just, to me, it's just looking at the landscape of the next few years of draft classes, saying that there are better wide receivers and edge rushers that are coming out that, you know, that will still be of that caliber you need. And the scarcity, to me, is scarcity.
And an interesting thing about that too is like when I was doing the mock draft, I was looking at these positions. Now, Joe Alt is a left tackle. He is one of the few, because when you look at players like JC Latham or anybody like a ton of these guys are right tackles. And so as I was trying to make fits for teams, I'm like, hey, like JC would be great here, but you don't need a right tackle, so you should go with a different position. Right. Like the Bengals, for instance. The Bengals spent on a right tackle. Like the Bengals would be smart to take it, but it's like, well, you can't take these players. Even the guy who played at Texas Christian, like there's so many of them. You're like, now you got to probably go with a different direction. It's not till like the Dallas Cowboys need a right tackle. The 49ers need a right tackle. But if you watch the Super Bowl, you would think the 49ers would need a right tackle. Although it's been proven.
They shouldn't have overpaid for a right tackle. Like, I think that was weird. Like, I thought that was but I mean, look, they need some other positions too. It's not like they only need a right tackle, the Bengals. So, you know, it's the versatility. Like, you look at Big Troy from Washington, it's like Fautanu. I'm nervous saying his name. Oh, and I like Talisa Fuaga. I'm learning that one too. It's just making me nervous. But
Fashanu, you're like, okay.
You're like, that's a Penn State guy for you with that. Just hold up the mug. But ultimately, like, you know, some of these guys have some versatility. So, like a guy like Big Troy, like he's one of the only ones that he plays like left tackle or maybe left guard, but like, you know, he's good at the run, at stopping the run. So like that could be someone who you could maybe, or at blocking for the run. So you could maybe put him in for a team that leverages the run a lot more and ask him to play maybe right guard and see if he could kick out to the right. But he does have some more burst, some of them, but there's a lot of right tackles. There's not a ton of guys who are like, I am a left.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and it's I'm an 22. Interesting thing. Yeah. Listen, who knows?
I understand people like hate when I bring up age, but think about it. If you're starting at 22, like you can play till you're 35 and be of high quality for till you're 33. If you're starting at 24, think about how much you're paying these people. You're over the course of their, that's two more years of expensive. Like, you know, you can figure it out.
When you pick up their fifth-year option or you're expecting to extend somebody, Joe Alt at 27 is different than Joe Alt perhaps entering his age 30 season.
Exactly.
A huge thing to consider, which is great. Is there another question? Is there one more?
One more.
You can just, okay. John, if Poles was so great at scouting quarterbacks, and why do they pass on C.J. Stroud last year? The Bears have a long history of passing on good quarterbacks. Looks like Poles joined the legacy passing. Can I address this first? Thank you. Okay. Here's my question for you. Tell me which side that you want here. Do you want C.J. Stroud, or do you want Caleb Williams, D.J. Moore, and everything that goes along with it this year? I think that's what it is. I don't think that it's necessarily passing on C.J. Stroud. It's like what you can get. C.J. Stroud would have cost you two first-round picks and D.J. Moore and the second-round pick that we get this year and Montez Sweat and Keenan Allen. So, yeah, you could have – who would have been the number one wide receiver last year? So you would have had C.J. Stroud with Darnell Mooney and, you know, Dante Pettis, Tyler Scott, all those guys. Or you get D.J. Moore.
You probably would have gotten one of those guys who's, like, drafted in the second round. You know, like it would have changed the whole draft. You know what I mean? And it would have changed the calculation for the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that it's – I don't look at it as passing up on a player like that. I think, like, the Panthers did us a solid by passing on him more than anything else. Like, I don't think that it was a – I think that – and, again, this goes back to what I was talking about with Houston. A misworded – poorly worded tweet is that, like, they knew the time to go out and get their guy. And I think the Bears needed to go out there and do that. And the Panthers – like, think about the Panthers. If the Panthers would have just waited – if they wouldn't have been in such a hurry, been like, you know what, we're fine. We'll go do something. We'll just, you know what, we're going to take, what were they, pick 9 last year? They could have picked whomever. They could have picked Jalen Carter. And then been like, so if the Panthers would have just waited, if you're the Panthers, would you rather have C.J. Stroud right now or Caleb Williams, Jalen Carter, and D.J. Moore? Like there's too many, it's more complex than just like, well, you missed out on this guy. Like you have to know what else is
and going. Let's add in the fact of like, let's rewind and remember where we were last year. And, you know, C.J. Stroud came from Ohio State, which is also where Justin Fields came from. You probably weren't ready to punt on Justin Fields quite yet, especially for at this time last year, everyone was like, C.J. Stroud is stupid. He didn't pass that whatever test they said.
Oh, right.
Remember, there was questions about his, like, aptitude or whatever. Like, you know, right now, last year, Bryce was the consensus number one, and it kind of wasn't close, right? So, you know, it's not to say that people get it right. I think it's more you have to weigh the potential in the moment because people did know Caleb Williams was coming. We've known it all year long. I mean – I think, like, you know, you knew even guys like Spencer Rattler, who was supposed to be maybe probably drafted higher, that he was supposed to be really good. But so, you know, you kind of see the stock coming out and you're like, I don't know if I should like go for the double dip of the, cause that might be weird too. Like, you know, like I think you say like, okay, we need to spend one more year figuring out if we got Justin right. Plus that still gives us the optionality of giving it to someone with, you know, the fifth year option, like intact, like that's their problem. When can you trade someone to optimize for their value? That's, you know, like there are a number of considerations in the timeline of it. Plus, you know, I think that rightly so, like that, you know, the O-line is still something to address. And I think they thought, even if it didn't end up being the, you know, like they didn't fix it all in one year, like that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, it's not like Justin Fields was like fully protected and just didn't work out. Like that was a tough situation he was in.
Yeah. That was a calculated risk of, you know, going out there, giving Justin Fields one more chance. It was too early to give up on him and to go out. And the mindset being, look, we're going to give Justin Fields D.J. Moore. We're going to give him one more year to really prove himself. And we've fortified our draft with two first round picks that if it does not work out with Justin Fields, we could move those picks to move up into the top 10 to get a guy. We didn't anticipate that Carolina was going to be the worst team in the NFL or end up with the number one overall pick. Well, I didn't. I remember.
I think most people thought Houston would be worse, but like, you know, you knew that Carolina wasn't going to be great.
I thought they would be a little. Like, I was, you didn't think, Yeah, I got them and the Buccaneers mixed up. Like there was, I should have given. I knew it too when I was doing my picks last year. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And I think I was actually reverse jinxing the Panthers by saying that they were going to be better. But in any event, but you did give yourself an opportunity to go fix the quarterback position this season. So I actually do trust Ryan Poles scouting in this instance where he scouted 2 years of quarterbacks. And as he was looking at it, like, we're going to find a guy who's better or as good with as much upside as CJ Stroud. So we'll go ahead and take that risk. And who knows, like Justin Fields could have came out and surprised us, or not surprised me, but surprised a lot of people, been that number one guy, you know, solidified himself as the quarterback of the future. And then we'd be having a different, because like if Justin had come out and played super well, who had a season like how Jared Goff's been rebuilding, like how Jared Goff went from a guy that I thought when he went to Detroit was going to be like, well, they'll get rid of him in a couple of years. You'll go get a quarterback of the future. Great stopgap. But Jared Goff has proven himself to be a pretty competent starting quarterback that he's proven once that he can get to a Super Bowl. So yeah, he's proven that like he can play and you don't need to address it. And so if Justin Fields,
what was he given when both his Super Bowl year and last year?
Who? Goff?
His best, like, great O-lines.
Great O-line, like, yeah.
His Lions O-line last year, legit top two.
Yeah, and I say that too when I'm doing my mock draft, when I'm, you know, jokingly trying to convince the Giants and the Titans to draft linemen. Number one, I think there's a lot of good wide receivers that are going to be available in the second round. Guys like Ladd McConkey and players like that, who I think are very good. The Lions were able to rebuild their team because they took Penei Sewell along with other guys. And I think if the Giants and the Titans were serious about winning long-term, they would take linemen. The Chargers would take linemen. Let teams like the Bears, who are closer, take the wide receiver. You guys go take the linemen. But it is a big thing. And I think that the Bears, again, Darnell Wright, yeah, also factors into that equation of like CJ Stroud or Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Stevenson. I think it's that's what you're looking at. It's not, I understand what you're saying.
Also, if your defense would have been a little bit healthier last year, like earlier, I mean, the defense got better as every week went on, but like.
That's the Montez Sweat effect. So there's also that.
But I don't know. Also, you know, getting your secondary back, probably helpful.
Well, I thought too, you know, and people dismiss this. In that week 18 game against the Packers, the Bears gave up 17 points. Like the Packers and people are cute. They're like, oh, the Packers are slow playing because I'm like, no. First, no. Like eyebrows LaFleur is not slow playing it against the Bears. There's no effing way. He would have put up 50 on us if he could have. And we went out in that game without Jalen Johnson and still were haranguing. Like Jordan Love's out there fumbling. Like we're creating turnovers. And that more than anything, and this is something as a, you know, I sit there. Now my daughter might be watching, so I won't use this. But at some point, like you watch something and you want, like, you're just like, you have to understand what you have. And like, I think not that one game determines somebody's fate here and there, but I'm like, I feel like that game really did not help Justin Fields out of like, man, you really kind of needed a
taste in your mouth before
you needed, you really needed to pipe this one off the tee box and you sort of, you got under it and you didn't do, like, if you would have had even if you would have lost, if Justin Fields would have thrown for 420 with three touchdowns, you would have been like, you know what? Let's go. Let's run it back. But you just watch that game and you're like, are we going to score points? Like, did you ever feel confidence like this? And again, this could be the coordinator. This could be the quarterback. I don't know what it is. But at that point, it's like, they're going to reset. Like, we know what this is. Let's see what this can be. And I think that's what the Bears did. And I would love to know, and maybe at some point when Caleb Williams is a five-time All-Pro, Ryan Poles will be like, you know what, I actually really had a high grade on CJ Stroud. I can be honest about it, but like he can't say that now. And certainly not to the bald guy on Cynthia's show, as he knows me as. I hope he'll come to Game Room Chicago. No, I'm just kidding.
I wish. I'm going to be in Detroit for once.
I know. So they're going to actually send you to Detroit. That's very nice. Very nice of them.
I get to come back on Saturday morning and go to the studio for our digital stuff, though, on Saturday.
That'll be fun. I hope they don't ask me to do that because I'm, you know, be in Chicago. Actually, I got to come back for soccer games. I'm coaching soccer during this hiatus. But in any event, listen, I know you're very busy and we appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
I know. The second that I reposted that thing.
Hilarious. I love Chicago fans.
I'm like, do I have to be in every TA production meeting?
Yes.
I do. I really do.
Apparently, yes.
They should use me more. You for that. But this was a great chat. And I hope that everybody here who has been joining us here live had a great time. And anybody who's listening to us or watching us again, make sure you're watching Path to the Draft, which is every day on the NFL Network.
Yeah, but I mean, you should especially watch it on like Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Wednesdays and Thursdays. So you're on Wednesday, Thursday. I just assumed you're on every day.
No, nope, just Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Do you do the mock draft live too?
No, I do TA on Tuesday and Path Wednesday and most Thursdays.
Well, there it is. You got the schedule. Make sure you're watching. She knows that Caleb Williams is going to be our quarterback. Everybody calm down. It was great. It was great to see you. Hope we can do it again in the studio real soon. If not, let's go out and play some golf. So we'll end it right there. Thank you. And oh my gosh, sorry. What the heck? What is going on? Bears Country Productions. Yes. How did we not set this up? Why are you spending this
much time?
We will do this. We'll do it. Stop, you guys. Stop. You want to go right now? I don't know. Listen, we'll set up next week. We'll do it. You pick the time. Send me the email. I thought I reached out to you. If I didn't, I'll have Sammy forward that email again. I will make sure that we get it. Like, so Bears Country, put that back up again. Bears Country Productions. By the way, they obviously have a YouTube channel. Go follow that right now. Go like and subscribe. Bears Country Productions. I will be a guest. We'll have a lot of fun. It'll be me with more swearing. But listen, you didn't have to do that, but thank you so much for doing that. And Cynthia, thank you for being here. So for Cynthia,
I'm
Adam. And we'll see you later. Bear down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.